You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Mark Livings is the CEO and co-founder of Liars Non-Alcoholic Spirits, a brand launched in Australia back in 2019. The company's range of products buck the trend of other non-alcoholic spirits in trying to make something that tastes different. With Liars, the drinks are created to taste as good as a wide range of classic spirits and aperitifs, from gin and rum to Campari and vermouth. The brand has seen incredible growth since launching, while winning a host of awards around the world. Here's Mark now with the story of Liars.
So my background is I've always been in the consumer sector. I began my career with Coca-Cola, moved agency side, and then founded my own agency with a business partner a little over 10 years ago. That grew very successfully, and so we started growing our business down the usual marketing services vertical. So we ended up starting a printing and production business. We started a logistics and fulfillment business, and we started a technology business, all around the needs of servicing the marketing requirements of major multinational consumer products companies like Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Pernod Ricard, Diageo, Coca-Cola, etc. And what I realized one day as we were pulling all these things together is that we had what is now described as an accelerator, where we've got all of the services and all the expertise that you could possibly need to take a great idea and deliver it to market, with a few exceptions. So I thought, look, I've got some entrepreneurial pedigree. The stack of businesses that I just described have been awarded many times. We've just received our fifth record-equaling recognition in the Australian Financial Review Fast 100. So I'm thinking, I've got this entrepreneurial pedigree. I've proven that I can scale businesses quickly, and I've got all these services, so why not offer this accelerator to our clients? And they all said no. Liars, it sort of began as a bit of a spite project where we're like, it's a shake your fist in the air. It's like, we'll show you. We think we've got a model here that can really work. So we sat down and we thought, right, if we're going to do this under our own steam, what's it going to cost and what sort of products are we going to launch? So we identified a number of consumer trends, and the one that really resonated with me was the health and wellness and mindfulness. And we now call it a mega trend because it's changing the shape of how people shop and how people consume and the products that they consume worldwide. So we thought, look, we're going to try and do something with that mega trend. And we knew the beer, wine and spirits sector intimately. And we saw a gap at the time. It's like there's people still wanted their delicious indulgences, but in a less sinful way. And this is, I guess, no better seen than businesses like The Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat offering a non-animal-based protein alternative that's delicious and salty and unctuous and meaty, but it doesn't have, if you're that way inclined, it doesn't have the ethical questions raised or the environmental questions raised about eating a plant-based protein. And we've also seen it in the dairy category. We've seen the rise and rise and rise of plant milks. And they've taken an enormous share of the traditional dairy category. And they're sitting in, you know, Western markets in the mid-teens. So we thought, you know, people are going to come into another indulgent category, such as alcohol, and they're going to be looked to be enjoying the same drinks, beer or wines or spirits. And if they can get them alcohol-free, we think there's a market there. So that's the category that we picked. And we had no line of sight to any other brand at the time on the market. So we ended up traveling around the world and we started working with some of the world's leading beverage technology companies. It took us about 2.5 years to bring Liars to life. And once we were done, we knew we had something really special on our hands. And the only task left to do then was to build a business around it, brand it, recruit the right team, and then launch it. And that's how it all got started. We knew that people wanted the existing experience and the existing flavors. So what we find with the majority of our competitors is that they are products, they're lovely products, but they're individual or providential expressions. So this is my recipe, I hope you like it, or These are the ingredients I find around myself in the world. I hope you like it. We took a really different approach and we said we need to try and get a range of products as close as possible in flavor and experience to the alcoholic originals, because that's what we believe that people are going to be looking for when they come into this category. That's what makes us different. So we're not trying to deliver a new flavor. We're trying to deliver flavors and products that are indistinguishable from the real thing. And look, it turned out that that was the right move for us. We've been recognized as the world's most awarded non-alcoholic spirits. We've got more than 80 medals in international wine and spirits competitions to our name. And we also have the very auspicious title of having the world's highest rated non-alcoholic spirit, which is our Amaretti, that received 98 points in the international wine and spirits competition. Instead of making an alcoholic beverage and then de-alcoholizing it, which is a process that a lot of brands use, we go the other way around. So we identify the molecules that deliver flavor, that deliver the bouquet or the perfume, and that deliver the mouthfeel of the alcoholic beverages. We find and we isolate them from natural sources, and then we blend them into a water base. So it's primarily essences, extracts, and distillates that we're using. Our ingredients come from 39 different countries of origin. And in order to build the product, we used a library of over 21,000 different ingredients and worked through all of them meticulously to find the exact flavor of vanilla that would deliver an expression of an oak-aged bourbon, for example. So without getting too technical, they're very, very complicated to make from a food technology standpoint. They require extraordinarily difficult to get and process ingredients, particularly because we limited ourselves to the natural world rather than synthesis. And then they all required balance and the delivery of mouthfeels. So our beverages come from essences, extracts, and distillates from natural sources. And obtaining them has been extraordinarily difficult. And then blending them and getting them to stay soluble in a water base has been an extraordinary challenge of beverage technology. And there's a number of tricks that we use, which I won't disclose our IP on. But if you are as diligent as us and work with the ingredients that we set out to find, and you get the very best in beverage technology, then you can achieve what Liza has achieved with our beverages. We launched in Australia only because we were living there, but we were thinking global from day one. One of the more interesting things about our business, and our business has achieved some things that we don't believe any other consumer brand on the planet has ever achieved. We're just over 18 months old. We're available in more than 40 markets around the world. And we are available direct to consumer through our website in more than 20 markets. And that's been translated into 11 different languages, accepts multiple currencies. And we have an amazing fulfillment network behind it that services products by fulfilling them across borders. And they're fully tax compliant. So we baked in a global footprint into our business plan before we launched in Australia. So it's very, very fulfilling to be able to hit our business plan and hit those results. But it was never a case of let's launch in Australia and then, oh, sales are going okay, let's look at what other markets we can tap. We were always going to take our brand to the world. I don't think there's any entrepreneur that's in a business scaling as quickly as we have and are continuing to do at the moment that doesn't have challenges as part of what they need to deal with on a daily basis. The pandemic, of course, presented an enormous challenge for the business. And the challenges manifested in a few ways. Early on, we lost a term sheet. It was a signed term sheet from a respected venture fund, and it was meant to mature at the beginning of the pandemic, and they walked away from the deal. And that almost wiped us out as a business. So that was a huge challenge. The challenge of the pandemic in that I'm a CEO, I need to be able to lead my team and coordinate them and support them and inspire them. And that's very difficult to do if you can't travel. So transitioning a business to being entirely virtual, that's another challenge. And then, of course, we've had enormous amounts of supply chain disruption throughout the world because of the enormous boom in e-commerce, because people all of a sudden went to shopping from home. There was actually a cardboard shortage in Europe because Amazon and other e-commerce retailers were chewing all of the cardboard available in the market. So for brands like us, particularly smaller challenger brands that are finding our feet, getting our hands on raw materials across the last 12 months has been an extraordinarily difficult challenge. But we continue to adapt and we continue to be creative and we continue to be agile. And that serves the business really well whenever we face these sorts of challenges that get thrown our way. So our vision for the coming years is right up until this point, I like to say we're now at the end of the beginning. So we've aggressively grown the biggest footprint for distribution in the world in a very short time. So job is done with regards to building scope. For us now, we need to build scale. And there's a few ways of doing that. So the non-alcoholic spirits category, salience in it is still pretty low. People aren't aware that that's a thing. So our research shows us that it's typically 15 to 20% of people know that non-alcoholic spirits exist across most Western and developed markets. If you correlate that versus non-alcoholic beer, it's close to 6 in 10 people knowing that non-alcoholic beer exists. So you can see there's enormous headroom and an enormous awareness gap that we need to close. And if we do close it, if we create more awareness, we're going to create more sales because people are going to start looking for us inevitably once they become aware that our product exists. So that for us is key to driving our brand and the category forward. And then, of course, we're about to have a once-in-a-lifetime reopening of the hospitality sector. And I don't think we've seen anything like this in our lifetimes. I think the last time comparable to this in human history that I can find is when Prohibition was lifted in the United States and there was a hospitality renaissance. So building a business that's ready to capitalize on this incredible boom that's about to happen in hospitality, once we're all vaccinated and running around with some immunity, that's certainly a very key focus for us moving into the next cycle. And then, look, the biggest ambition that we've got is a bottle of lies behind every bar in the world. And we're on track to get there, I think.
Mark Livings, CEO and co-founder of Liars Non-Alcoholic Spirits. You can learn more at lyres.com. My thanks to Mark and to Monocle's Nina Mio in our Hong Kong bureau for conducting the interview. Thanks as well to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening and goodbye.